So now we'll continue to do in the laws of Shema, and we're up to in chapter 74, Siman Ayin Dalet, and now we're up to subsection 3, Gimel. So he says, Mayim afilu hein tzlulin chashuvim kisui la'erva. If you are underwater, even if they're completely clear, so you're in the, that's why the mikvah. In the very practical cases, women that use the mikvah make a bracha, but they make a blessing. Now the question is, how do they make the blessing? They're not dressed in the inside of the water. So he says like this, water, even if they are completely clear, so it's not really covering so that you can't see, but it's still, you're underwater, that is considered a cover for the erva. As long, or as let's say you want to read the Shema or something, as long as you take your head and your heart out of the water, so then you're considered, the bottom is considered covered, because you're not allowed to be together with your erva under one cover, as we said in the Sefala. If you can't have like a blanket covering you together, you need a separation. So the water would be considered a separation. But if the im libo toich hamayim, but what happens if your heart is in the water? So imem tzlulim osur. So then if it's clear, then it's prohibited, because then you're still under the same cover. Your heart and your private parts are still under the same cover, mishum libo toich erva, because then your heart would be seeing the erva, which is not allowed either. But the im haim achurim, but if they are darkened or muddied, that they are not, I would use the not clear, what would be the other word? But you know, not visible. They're cloudy. They're clouded, or the water is not clear. She'ein nevorim nirim bahem, though that his limbs cannot be seen in them. Muter likrois betoicham, then you're allowed to read in them. That is because they are considered an interruption between his heart and the erva. But the condition is, the condition is, it shouldn't become a bad smell from that water, because if you got a bad smell, that's another problem. So over there, just as far as considering it covered, if you can't see, it's considered covered. So then, if there's a bad smell, you have to stay away 4 ames from a bad smell. You have to remove yourself before you read Kemoshi's Boyer Lekamon. Like we'll see later on, the idea that if there's a bad smell over there, then you can't do the Shema, and you have to move 4 ames away. An ame is about 6 tvachim, it's about from. It's more than, a little bit more than a foot. It's a little bit more than, maybe a foot and a half or something like that. So he says,
4 amos is 6 feet, I'm pretty sure. That's
4 amos is 6 feet, okay.
It's a little more than a foot.
Ten tefachim is 40 inches. Yeah, it's about. K'mo shekosu l'kama. Umayim tzlulim shalgabi karka. If you have clear water that is underground, oichron beraglov umuter. So he says, I guess you can make it with your feet. You can get it dirty. I guess that maybe there's like sediments underneath the ground, underneath, and what you're doing is that you mix up a little bit of the water, so you get it to be not clear. So even though the water is clear, but you can mix it up with your foot, so you get all the different stuff. You mix it up, so you get the things on the top to make it not clear. So then you can. That is permissible. I think that's what he's talking about. So let's say you're in a mikvah, right? Now there's clear water, but there's dirt, there's earth on the bottom. Right? So he says, but if you use your foot to mix in and then cause the water to become cloudy, because now you have the dirt from the bottom, so then it becomes like a cloud, then you're permitted. So this would be if it's in the ground. Now, what is the practical situation is there? Let's say, what's the practical situation? So one situation would be, let's say the time is passing. He wants to do the Shema, but it's too late. He can't go out, so he needs to do it right away. I mean, I'm trying to figure out the practical application. One needs to say, a bracha. One of the bracha, we said, sometimes you have to say a bracha when you go to the mikvah. So one needs to be able to do that. So one of the ways of doing it, let's say you want to tovel dishes, right? Let's say, and you can't, the only way to do it is you have to go into the mikvah to tovel the dishes, right? And you make a bracha when you're toveling the dishes. So you're going to get undressed, you're going to go into the mikvah. What? He's immersing his dishes.
You have to get undressed?
No, I didn't say you have to.
What
I'm saying.
To make him kosher?
No. He doesn't have another ability. He can't bend over. It's very deep in the ground or something. So he doesn't want to get his clothes wet. So he goes into the mikvah himself to immerse the dishes. I'm giving scenarios why a person would be, but he has to make a bracha. I'm saying sometimes he has to make a bracha. Maybe we'll see soon why would one need to be in a mikvah, what kind of brachas he would be there. Maybe he's running out of time or whatever the situation is. They say the story about this fellow, the chassidim, we go to the mikvah. So this one fellow was a very poor man. And then the mikvah is, somebody by accident or something, they took his pair of pants away from the mikvah. So he started dancing. So he said, they thought he got crazy or something, because so he asked, why are you dancing? He says, look, I had nothing, he says. So now, he says, all I had is a pair of pants. He says, now I don't have that either. He says, it can't get any worse. He can only get better, he says. So, so I don't know, sometimes you feel that you're at the end, that you've gotten so much service that you feel, hey, you know what? I can start being happy because now it can only get better. It can't get any worse.
Like Tommy said, bad is not the end. It can only get better.
So he says, but what happens if you're in a tub or something where you can't mix up the water? So there you can't, it's clear water. But if he's in a vessel bathing over there, now you're maybe again you're not in the shower or in a bathtub or something like that. I mean that has other issues whether you can say blessings over there if it's in a toilet you can't what you use. But this is just a place where you're just bathing. And you can't get it to become dirty. So you want to say and he wants to drink. Oh, okay. So here's the scenario. So the person wants to drink. I'm assuming he doesn't want to drink the water that he's bathing in, but he wants to take a drink, wants to take from the tap water. So he has to make a bracha before he's going to drink, but he's not dressed. So what does he do? So, im libay toy chamayim, if his heart is in the water, so if he's outside of the water, so then we said that it's okay. If it's a cover, that's okay. But if his heart is in the water, yichase bebeged mematalim, libay bivarach, so then he can cover with a garment below his heart, and then he can, so he should not be seeing it. So basically, if it's clear water, then it's a cover, but it's not the cover between the heart, and you would need another cover to cover the erva so that you can say the bracha. But he says, this is an interesting halacha, which also has other ramifications. He says you must use a garment. But what happens if you put your hand on the water, right? So now your heart doesn't see it. That's not considered to be a cover. Because the heart and the body are considered one. The heart and the hand are one body. The body can't cover itself. You need something from the outside to cover. You can't cover yourself with yourself. You need something from the outside. Now the same thing would be true if a person covers his head with his hand. instead of a yarmulke, right? So you want to, so instead of a yarmulke, you want to go put your hand on your head, and you want to use your hand as a cover. He says, no, ein chashuv kisui. That's not considered a cover. Your own hand cannot cover, your body cannot cover your body. So that you should be able to do that with a revealed head. As will be explained later on in this section 91. So, and over there, in the Asif Dalet, so now he just quotes over here that in the footnote that sometimes it would help when you don't need a bracha, take a bracha, but when you need a real cover, then it doesn't help. When you really need a bracha, when you need to say a bracha, it's not really considered a full cover. Now, I don't know if you noticed, maybe now I'm telling you, you will notice it. I mean, that's number one, you realize why people will not normally use their head. They'll use a kippah to cover their head, to say the bracha, right? Sometimes, when you are like putting on tefillin with somebody else, so if you put your hand over his head, that is a good covering. The idea here is you can't cover up on yourself. Your body cannot cover for your body. But somebody else's body, if you put your hand over somebody else's head, that would be considered a good covering for the other person.
If that's, you didn't have a yarmulke.
If the other person doesn't have a yarmulke, you want to put on your hand over his head, that would be a covering. It's not the problem with the hand, that the hand is not a cover. The problem is you cannot cover over yourself. So if it's your body that you're trying to cover, you can't cover it with your body. You need something outside of your body. But your body can cover somebody else. But you will notice there is something about using two covers. Mostly, one cover is enough. If you notice, a lot of the yarmulkes they give out have like a double. They're knit inside. It's not just meant for, you know, sturdiness or for the design, but it's also meant to have. There's something about using a double cover, you know, to have one cover plus a double cover. That's why a lot of Hasidim, you'll see, they use a hat when they daven.
And why you wear a hat?
Or else you wear the talus, and with your talus you cover your head, so you have two covers. Now, well, it does have, look what I just did, and I'll explain to you what I just did now. Like this, my yarmulke has double covers, but we actually, not just a double cover, but completely two different.
You're not covering your head, Rabbi.
Yeah, so well, I am.
Someone else has to cover it for you.
But that's exactly what I wanted to show you. If you'll notice, this is what people do. If they have to remove the yarmulke, they'll do exactly what I did. What did I do now? I'm using my sleeve to cover my head. I would not cover my head with my hand because that wouldn't count. The arm is okay, but it's the piece of material. That's right. So if you'll notice, sometimes when people say a bracha, like if they want to use a second cover, most people are okay just with one cover, one yarmulke, and they're okay. But sometimes, some people won't say without a yarmulke. So either they have the talus on their head. That's why the people who are more religious, or Hasidim, I don't know, whatever you want to call them, they keep their talus on top of their head all the time because they want two coverings. So it's not so much for the talus, but they want their head to be covered with two coverings, so they're not going to keep it just on their shoulders. I mean, when you make the bracha, you have to cover your head. That's a requirement, because that's the way to wrap yourself up. But many people will later on just have the talus over their shoulders, and they're not going to cover their head. But some people who want to be careful will actually keep their head covered with a talus in order, or when they daven mincha or mariv, when they don't have a talus, they keep a hat on in addition because they want two coverings. But the point where I'm saying is, when you notice is, the people, when they make a bracha sometimes, they don't have their hat on, so what they will do is, they go like this, and make the bracha. And then you'll say, hey, why are they doing this? Because they want to do it, because their hand cannot be used as a second cover. That's based on this halach over here, that it's not considered considered a cover to protect one from an open head.
That's why last week you called one of your sons to bring your hat, and I couldn't understand because you're wearing a yarmulke.
Yeah,
it's double already.
Yeah. Okay. So the truth of the matter is, okay. So you're asking, so it's double already. So why would you need it though? But sometimes when something is knit together, it's considered to be like really one already. It became one because it's sewn together. It's not really considered. It's better than just a single. That's a double problem. Oh no, that's a single. Suede is single. That's right. For definitely, suede is single.
So that's why that's why when you give Alan the Aliyah, when he reads the Torah, he doesn't put the talus over his head. But when you give him an Aliyah, he covers his head.
That's right. Yeah. You don't need to. That's like saying, you know, it's kosher. Most people do it. And, you know, especially when it's hot, things like that, it's not so comfortable to have your talus over your head. So, and, you know, it has a tendency of falling down. But people that are careful, you'll see, they always keep their head covered with their talus. The talus never goes off their head. And that is because they're praying and they want a second cover. And that talus serves as the second cover. Matter of people, there's other people actually, you'll see, some other people put their hat, also had their hat on. Not over the talus, but when they're davening. They use the talus robe, but they'll still keep their hat off, so they have two coverings for their head.
My grandfather, when he used to daven, used to wear his hat.
Yeah? Yeah.
With the talus
on. Some people do that. Some people do that. Again, I'm saying, that's...
So again, what is the exact reason for two?
Okay, so we didn't learn that. We'll learn that later on, but I wouldn't say why you would need two. But I guess since people walk around the whole day with a yarmulke anyways, which technically they don't have to. You don't have to wear a yarmulke, I mean, strictly by the law, but the tradition is to wear a yarmulke all the time. So how would you tell the difference between the davening, which is special in front of God, and ordinarily, yeah?
Would you know where my second pair of tefillin and talis was put in the Aron of Rehoboam? Right here.
Only should be around somewhere.
Right.
As far as I know, I've never had an incident where anybody stole anything.
Right,
so.
Right. But I mean,
so it's either in the underneath, so let's look around.
Okay.
I'll keep my eyes open.
Okay. So I thought a man's head should never be exposed to God.
Yes, that's true, but that's not halacha. That's something to, like the Talmud says, if you want to have the fear of God over your head, you should always wear a yarmulke. Yeah, that's you're absolutely right. What I'm saying is, but it's not an absolute requirement. It's just to add the fear of God to yourself, but it's not like a mitzvah in which it's written that you have to do so. But absolutely, we should wear a yarmulke all the time in order to fear God. But people that do wear a yarmulke all the time, but then you want to do something extra because you're coming to daven, you want to show an extra covering. That's why it comes in the extra covering, to distinguish and to out of respect for the actual prayer to Hashem. So we use a second covering. So you can argue, people who don't cover their head, so one cover is enough because that's already a distinction for them. And that's probably true. So I'm saying, I'm not recommending that people who are coming to shul should daven should have to use two covers. That's okay. They use one cover. That's good. Well, yeah. But if anybody wants to do, you know, better, and you know, see, I'm just explaining the reason why Hasidim and the people that daven, why they would do that, and why we wear a hat. That is sort of gives it the second cover. And then you'll say, well, you don't need a hat. Yeah. Well, some people will wear a other kind. You know, the fedoras now. These hats that we wear are getting very, very expensive. Actually, there was a movement among some Haredi groups to try to boycott and start wearing the caskets, the Russian hats and other kinds, because they're becoming outrageously expensive. You know, we're talking about a massive business because we have 100,000 yeshiva students who wear these fedora hats. But, yeah, so that's, it's a cheaper way out. It doesn't get ruined in the rain, and you know that's.
But it's not made of.
It's not made. But these are Italian. These are especially these Borsellino, Barbizio. These are like very
hundreds of
years. But we're talking about every yeshiva student has a hat like that. You know, some of them had. There's a Chabad style. There's a different style. There's Litvish style. But they're basically the same fedora hat. And we're talking about. Every Pesach and every, you know, it's, you know, we're talking about you buying and making a kid's bar mitzvah. You're talking about minimally $180 for a hat. You know, that's minimum of starting price. If you want a little better, a hat that holds after one rain, you know, so you pay $250, you pay $300. It's getting to be massively expensive, you know, to, and then you need a weekday hat, you need a Shabbos hat, and then once a year. Actually, there are some philanthropists that will sponsor for the students their hats and the suit once a year, like before Pesach, they will, because, you know, a lot of students can't afford. But it's a matter of being clean, being looking presentable, you know, in a hat, and these hats do take the wear and tear, you know, causes
the
other, them.
With the fur, with the, not the mink, the other ones.
That's the strimals. That's besides
the strimals. The other ones, like the it's like a felt. No,
yeah,
it's almost like a fur.
Spodic, there's various different.
Oh, yeah, the different
there's various different kinds of them. But all this comes to have the second special cover. But what kind of cover? I mean, this is by tradition passed along from the generation. Now, the Rebbe, as you see, wore a plain fedora hat, a plain hat. And somebody once told the Rebbe, like you say, somebody once told the Rebbe that Rebbe, he says, if the Rebbe, he says, if you would only put on a strimal, Rebbe, in his great, you know, humility and simplicity, never wanted to show or never presented any outwardly greatness. You know, if you looked at the Rebbe, the way he davened, you know, there was no big commotion. There was never any outwardly, you know, signs of the contrary. Rebbe would daven very, very simple. You couldn't see. There was no external expression of anything that's going on in his mind or in his heart at the time. Not only that, also the Rebbe would daven fairly quick, which means not quick, but not, didn't extend, it didn't have everybody wait for him for hours, you know. That it just, it was very, very modest, very modest. And Rebbe's dress was also very modest in the sense that he wore a simple hat, and Rebbe never changed that hat. And even though his father-in-law, the previous Rebbe, he wore sometimes a spudig, yeah, a tall one, he did wear. And they asked, over there in the first one. Yeah. At times he did wear. And the Rebbe, I think, I mean, again, I can only speculate and my speculation, that the Rebbe always thought that his father-in-law is still the Rebbe. He never thought of himself as being, so the Rebbe never changed his. His hat remained the same one that he wore before the Rebbe's, and he kept on wearing that hat, that nothing changed. So he didn't make any changes, he just kept on, you know, continuing.
So he stopped the strangle.
Oh, so the Hasidim then stopped the idea, didn't do it, yeah. So one time they told the Rebbe, that's what I heard, once then they said to the Rebbe that if you only put on a strimal, if the Rebbe would only put on a strimal, then you would have like hundreds of thousands of more Hasidim. Because some of the Hasidim that come from Poland and from Hungary and from some of these European, their dress is like part of their tradition. So in order for them to connect to a tzaddik, to a rabbi, they need a tzaddik and a rabbi who follows their tradition. But since the Rebbe didn't wear the strimal, so there was like a gap over there that they couldn't really. So somebody suggested to the Rebbe, he says, Rebbe, if you only put on a strimal, you only put on that hat, that fur hat, then you would have so many more thousands would come and feel comfortable, sort of, in you as a Rebbe. And the Rebbe says, well, all these people that have the shrub, they already have the Rebbes. Why do I, you know, that's fine. They already have the Rebbes, and, you know, they should follow their tradition. But the Rebbe says, I want to ask you another question. I want to ask you this. He says, how many people who don't belong to the Hasidim, or not even religious. In the olden days, the Shomer HaTzair, that was the young Israeli group who were like the Meretz party, the Shulam, the anti-religious party. He says, how many of those people would join Chabad? Basically, the Rebbe said, the more we look at the extreme, the less chance we have of attracting some of those who are on the fringe. So basically, the Rebbe says, these people are taken care of, so let them, they have their rabbi. I'd rather have some of these people who have no Rebbe, have no Torah, have no Yiddishkeit, I'd rather have them and not scare them away. What?
Like
that. Yeah, very different than, yeah.
Because he lived in Russia, he needed a warm hat.
Not sure exactly.
Styles tended to change.
What was the traditions at that time then?